Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello everybody, this is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the program today. For those of you that don't know, my website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and I have a ministry that teaches the Word of Scripture based on the foundation of Scripture, which is the first five books known as the Torah. Now, many people mistakenly believe Torah is a Jewish thing. It's not a Jewish thing, folks. It's a Bible thing. The first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis, is the foundation of all of Scripture. And the reason why it's known as the instructions, and it's often mistranslated as law, but that's a poor mistranslation. It's the instructions of our wonderful Creator, is because the majority of things that our Creator told us to do and not do are found in the first five books of the Bible. So one of the topics that I have a really big passion to teach about, that goes deep into the foundation of all Scripture, is health and the health message that's shared in the Bible. Recently, I was traveling and giving a health lecture at one of the appointed feasts of the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as Sukkot in the Bible, which all believers are commanded somehow, some way to remember and observe. And a lot of people that don't study the Torah or don't study the Bible do not understand the appointed feast times of our Creator. And I would say it's so important to understand those, to understand so much more about the Bible and about our Messiah, to learn about the feast times. Well, this Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles is when our Messiah, Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, was actually born. And we met for 8 days, and I gave this lecture about health. And at the event, they were serving a lot of food that wasn't healthy. And they invited me, a health speaker, to come on out to the event. And at the same time, they were serving food that wasn't healthy. And they invited me to speak on the topic of health. So, other than just telling you and sharing with you what I said, I want to play for you the audio to the actual lecture that I gave. And it's going to be in two parts, this week and next week. So I thank you for listening to this. And you can contact me on my website, www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. So now you're going to hear part one of the lecture I gave recently on a topic of health according to the Scriptures that I was giving at this event. And if you have comments and questions, please contact me wherever you're hearing this message from, whether it's the radio or the internet. Get in touch with me, and I look forward to your feedback. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, there have been many people here this week that have been telling me they've been excited to hear about health as they're eating unhealthy. Yeah. And there have been many people here telling me about their diseases and their ailments that they've been experiencing and telling me they have a strong desire to overcome them. And this is not a surprise that most of them are probably somewhere continuing to support that illness and disease instead of getting the knowledge of what to do about it. And then when many people get that knowledge, they make the excuses. So, pat all yourselves on the back for being here and taking the first step of getting the knowledge, because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I always say I'm a very disciplined person. And some people said, I could never eat like you, Paul, because you're too disciplined. And I will submit that we're all disciplined to what we love. We're all disciplined to what we love. And we have to love our health and love our Creator more than we love the taste of junk food that the enemy is providing for us. And that's unfortunately not happening. And the enemy is very clever, and he's going to find ways to get to us. And one of the major ways he's getting to us is through drugging ourselves and committing suicide with the true weapons of mass destruction, which is a knife and fork. And this is creating a terrible problem today. And I remember for 9/11, I was in New York City, and I had friends that were in the Twin Towers when they fell down. I saw the whole thing from my window in New York City, and my own sister was in there, and she got out, and another friend of mine got out. And the first thing they did when they got out is they tried to call people. And because the cell phones weren't working too well, they were having a tough time getting through to people. But my sister and somebody else were able to call me, and the first person they were able to speak to after they got out was myself. And their words in shock were, "Did you see what just happened? I just barely survived." One of my friend's 80 people that worked with her didn't survive. She just barely got out. And the only reason she got out is because they made an announcement on the speaker, "Everybody turn around, it's okay, this building's secure." And those people that went back didn't make it. So she left the building and she survived. "Did you see what just happened? I almost lost my life, but I got out okay. I didn't have this quick, terrible death where I was immediately taken away from my family and my friends and those loved ones. But at the same time, these people keep smoking and eating and living in a way that's committing a slow suicide, thinking they've escaped death when, in fact, they're just bringing it on themselves, slowly but surely, over the years. And this is what the enemy does to us. How sad that we can have so much wisdom and knowledge and our eyes can be opened so much to what the scriptures say, but we disrespect our temples. The greatest gift that Yahweh has given us while we're here on this earth is a body to live in, and we disrespect it. How sad and terrible that we do that and we actually justify it. And many people are deceived where they could hear the truth and completely ignore it. Now, being here at this Hebraic Roots Conference, we all know Christians that'll hear the truth about the Sabbath and about the commandments and about how to keep the word. But what happens? They hear it, but because they're so brainwashed into Christian doctrine for so long and so many years, they cannot comprehend it or accept it. They just can't. They're just used to what they've been taught. And most of us have been in that situation. But finally, sometime, we finally realize this isn't working. And we change, and then we start keeping Torah, and we start getting the blessings. How sad is it that we're doing the same thing as so-called Hebraic Roots believers, people who claim to know the Bible and see these things that have been revealed to them better than the average Christian or somebody else, but we continue to destroy our bodies with the drugs we put in on a daily basis over and over again. And just like the average Christian, and not all Christians, but just like the average Christian will use the death of Messiah as an excuse to keep living in sin, saying we're set free, all that was nailed to the cross, we do the same thing with our diets. Oh, we can't get sick. We have Yeshua. We can't get a disease. Oh, no, I'm saved. So how in the world would I can't be poisoned, and I can't, and this stuff's not going to happen to me. You know, I'm too holy to get a disease. You know, cancer's for those that the non-believers, the people that aren't following Yahweh's word. Diabetes and all these other diseases, that's not for us. We're past that. That can't happen to us. Why? Because we're walking in the scriptures. We're walking Yahweh's path. But what happens? Well, wherever I go around the country and I start speaking as these Messianic congregations, there's more prayers for healing of disease or to remembering somebody who just died from a disease than any other topic. And I get to see this and hear this all the time. And some of these are the so-called wonderful, blessed teachers that are teaching about prophecy and they can't even make it a year without getting a disease. That they're doing to themselves. Through them to themselves. And it has to stop. And when they asked me, well, speak about health, I said, no, I'm not going to speak about health today. I want to speak about some other stuff. But everyone listens when you speak about it. Well, obviously they're not listening. Why? Look around. Look around. And it comes down to my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in the Hebrew, that doesn't say my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because what it says in the Hebrew is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Torah. It's a big difference. We all have knowledge, we have worldly knowledge. We're all disciplined to what we love. But if we love His Word, we study His Word, we have lack of knowledge of Torah, and that's what's destroying us and destroying our health. What good is it to have all this head knowledge if you can't get out of bed and share it with anyone? And that's the situation people are in. There have been several people that have come up to me this week, and several people that have come up to me in general, and tell me there's nothing to eat here that's healthy. And I applaud the organizers of this event for having a salad bar that I could point those people to and say, these salads are healthy, but people are brainwashed to think, yeah, but I just can't live on salads. Why not? Why not? Well, we need our meat. Well, who said that? Show me a place in the Bible where it says you need your meat. You know, the Bible says the food for man is fruits and vegetables in Genesis 1:29. He says if you desire to do so, you can add meat to your diet, but that's when there was no fruits and vegetables on the planet because of the flood. Guess what? The flood receded and we got fruits and vegetables now. But we need our meat. Okay, well, the Bible gives guidelines on how you can eat your meat. Are you eating it the way the Bible says? The Bible, last I said, the Bible says, do not dine with gluttons or feast drunkards or feast with gluttons. You know, gluttony is the principle of Scripture, is one of the greatest issues that Yahweh has with us, is not being satisfied with what He gave us. Always desiring more. Always wanting more. I promise you, I was not there, but I know when Moses was 120 years old, he was climbing mountains. He wasn't sick in his bed. He couldn't get up because he ate too much the night before. And this has been a big problem, and evidence is widely all over the place that there's something called an alcoholism. When people drink too much, there's something called a functional alcoholic. See, the body has an amazing power to adapt to what we're doing. So eventually, if you drink too much, the body gets used to it. So you can drink a lot and not feel the effects. Well, you know what? There's a functional gluttony, we'll call it. When we can eat too much, and right away when we do it, our body's going to feel it and realize it, and we're going to get sick, we're going to feel sick. But then it gets to a point where we lose that, and we automatically could do it without feeling the effects. And what has happened? Well, we're functional gluttons. And more disease happens by overeating than undereating. So if you're eating your biblically kosher food that you think's okay, and you're overeating it, it's not okay for your temple. It's not okay for your body. So we have to understand, we have more money science knowledge and study of the topic of disease than ever before in the history of man. But at the same time, we have more people suffering from disease than ever before in the history of man. The enemy is just having his way with us. Just drugging us up. Look, if somebody gave you a present, a beautiful little cute little puppy, that you looked at in his precious eyes and it was just so cute and so beautiful, would you take that puppy and just throw it in a pile of mud and start kicking it around and treating it terrible? No, but we do that to our bodies every single day. We treat our pets better than we treat our bodies, and we wonder why we get sick. Over and over again, and we expect the government or somebody else to take care of us. Oh, that's all right. We don't need a strong immune system. We'll just take some shot at the local drugstore. And we can't get the flu now, when they're shooting us up with unclean medicines and everything else. I met a man in Florida once who had a fasting retreat. Does everyone know what fasting is? Okay, how many of you fasted on Yom Kippur? How many of you struggled with it? Oh, really? That's quite a surprise. Many people usually struggle with it because they're so used to eating all day long. Well, I met a man who had a fasting retreat in South Florida. And I said to him, how often do you fast? He said, never. I said, why not? He goes, because I don't overeat. I don't have to. You understand? Our body has this amazing power to adapt to our environment and what we're doing. And it also says in the scriptures that we have control over the quality of our lives. We have control over it to a degree. It says, you know, man's day, man should not die before his time. The wicked shall suffer, but the righteous man shall live long in peace and shalom. It goes out this throughout the scriptures. Do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Ecclesiastes 7:17. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. That's in Psalms 55:23. And wisdom, which is Proverbs 10:27, says, the fear of Yahweh adds length to life, but the year of the wicked shall be cut short. And on the opposite of that, it says in 2 Kings 25, Yahweh heals. He healed King Hezekiah and added years to his life because he repented for his sin and he added time to his life. We do have control through our actions on our time. And our timeline can be cut short by us not obeying His word and not listening to His word. And these are the things that are happening. The great thing is we have a choice. We have an opportunity. So for those people that escaped the death of the World Trade Center falling down, could they say, now I'm really appreciative for my life and I'm going to start treating my temple better? For those of you that had a near-death experience and you've overcome that, can you be thankful and blessed by Yahweh to say, thank you so much, I'm going to treat this body best I can because you're giving me a second chance? Well, Yeshua gave us a second chance. We were on death row, and we don't deserve to be here. But then we go out and we do everything He tells us not to do. And then if we're supposedly obedient to His word, we still continue to defile our bodies so much so we cannot physically get up and do the things that He calls us to do. And that's what's happening. The deception. It's just rampant. And in 2 Samuel 24, in 24:10 it says, but after he had taken the census, David's conscience began to bother him. And he said to Yahweh, I have sinned greatly by taking the census. Please forgive my guilt, Yahweh, for doing so in this foolish thing. And 24:11 says, the next morning, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet of God, who was David's seer, and this was the message, 24:12. Go and say to David, this is what Yahweh says. I will give you three choices. Choose one of these punishments, and I will inflict it on you. So God came to David and asked, what will you choose of the three? Either 3 years of famine throughout the land, or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague throughout your land. Think this over and decide that the answer I should give Yahweh, who sent me. So he was giving three choices. In 24:14, I'm in a desperate situation, David replied to God, but let us fall into the hands of Yahweh, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into human hands. Okay? So 24:15, so Yahweh sent a plague amongst Israel that morning. So this is Yahweh's mercy. Okay? So instead of him submitting to the hands of the enemies, this is Yahweh's mercy. He sent the plague that lasted for 3 days, and a total of 70,000 people died throughout the nation. That was Yahweh's mercy, and 70,000 people died. So let's stop even blaming the enemy. Let's look at Yahweh's mercy, what's happening, and how many people are dying because they're just not respecting the temple that Yahweh saved, that He's given us another chance. But it says also in the scriptures, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It doesn't stop there. It says, because you have forgotten the Torah, I also forget you for being priests for me. Not only will you suffer, but your seed shall suffer. See, people take that part away. They just say, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, it says there's suffering that goes along with that, for lack of knowledge. Now, I know many people don't have the knowledge about the diet and the health that we should, but it's really simple. In every translation I've read, it says in the Bible, eat this and don't eat that. It says, don't be a glutton. You know, practice temperance. You can't mistranslate that. In every single translation, it's the same. And it also gives the timetables we should eat in the Bible. Eat at these times and don't eat at these times. We look at the principle of Scripture. Because of all the man-made artificial electricity, we can eat at nighttime, but our Creator never intended us to eat at nighttime. That's when we should be sleeping. But what do people do? They eat the majority of the meals late at night. And they're eating the meals late at night, and the body's not able to get to sleep it needs where the healing takes place, and people are getting sicker and sicker. Somebody says, show me the Bible where it says we shouldn't be at night eating at nighttime. I said, if our Creator wanted us to eat at nighttime, fruits and vegetables will glow in the dark. They don't. He didn't want us to be eating late at night. But we do that on a regular basis. And then we say we're not hungry in the morning. No kidding. If I eat all night, I wouldn't be hungry in the morning either. You get good sleep where the healing takes place. You eat the foods He provided for us, the food that we can actually, if we were in nature, pick from a tree. In the stage that we should pick it from a tree. An orange is called an orange for a reason. Guess what color it's supposed to be? Exactly. Not green. You know, all real food has a stages to it, a ripening stage, a freshness stage, and a rotten stage. That's what real food is. And when you think of fruits and vegetables, that's what you get. Ripening, a freshness, and a rotting stage. Now think about a Twinkie. It could be in the same package for 20 years and it'll look the same exact way. There's nothing natural about it. It shouldn't be in our bodies. And our Creator didn't make any mistakes when He gave us the food we should be eating. You take a carrot and you cut open the carrot. What do you got? You have two eyes looking at you. What's a carrot good for? The eyes. It's not difficult to figure out. What about celery? What's that good for? The bones. The shape of celery, the shape of the bones. Avocados, the oils in avocados are wonderful for pregnant women. If you cut an avocado sideways, it looks like a little baby in a womb. The food looks like what it's good for. Think about a walnut. What do you think that's good for? The brain. The oils in the walnut are great for the brain. What about a Twinkie? It looks like a coffin. The food is you know, it comes down to custom versus design. Custom versus design. That's what it comes down to. But I'm going to give you some practical things to do, to start doing, so you can start following the design of our Creator and get away from the customs of man. Because we've worked so hard to get away from the customs of all these other religions, but we've not gotten away from the customs of man that are destroying our bodies through the food they're giving us and the things that are happening. It's bad enough we things have so many things going on we don't have control over. What about the things we do have control over? Why don't we start doing something like that? I saw something very sad last night, very, very sad. I saw a big line of people about to eat some food, and they had some cooked food out there with animal meats in there, whatever. Nobody questioned where they came from, the animals, and I'm sure they trusted the great wisdom of the organizers that the animals were safe. They had a vegetarian options for the people that are vegetarians, and they had a salad bar, and they had brownies. And I saw probably at least half of the people, well, all of the people, and rightfully so. I mean, they skipped the salad bar first, and they went right for the animal. But we need to put the plates near the salad bar first. Eat the green first. Eat the salad first, and then later eat the other stuff. But most people just went right to the meat, and then right to the brownies, and some went right for the brownies first. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. We should be eating so much salad, we don't even have room for a brownie. You know, just because it has a cute name doesn't mean it's cute for our bodies. It's not healthy. The number one drug destroying believers, destroying people, destroying all of us, that is so commonly used on a regular basis today, is found in chocolate and it's found in coffee. Caffeine. I would say it's more dangerous, and more people have suffered consequences from the effects of coffee, of caffeine through coffee and chocolate and many other toxic substances like these crazy energy drinks and all these stimulation drinks and everything else, than many of the alcoholism and crack and all the cocaine and everything else out there. Those things have direct effects that people are at least trying to do something about. They're going to rehab centers and everything to overcome that. But nobody's saying anything about this terrible drug that people, it's affected us so much, people can't even make it through the day without having it. You know you are addicted to a drug if you can't make it through one day without it. And this attacks our body in such a dangerous way that we don't realize because we're told it's okay by the government. Every single conference I've been to, every single, at least Messianic or Hebraic Roots or church conference I've been to, the number one main point of the whole conference, the number one idol of the whole conference is, where's the coffee? The number one question, where's the Bibles? First thing in the morning, we got to get up and read our Bibles. Can we get through the whole day without opening our Bibles? No. Can we get through the whole day without opening a coffee? No way. We can't do that. We got to open up that coffee right away. It's more serious than you think, folks. Get rid of the coffee. Practical thing number one, get rid of the coffee. If you can't get rid of the coffee, you're not getting enough sleep. You're not getting enough rest. It's more serious than we know. Another thing, the things we should be putting in our body in terms of liquid, if you don't know it, the government's trying to destroy us through the local water tap system, and they're putting drugs and chemicals like fluoride and other things in the water that are destroying our health. So we can do best to avoid that. I appreciate that. I have a Berkey system out there to take a lot of those pollutants out of it. That's great. If you could have a filter or somehow get some form of clean water, great. Water, or even better, replace the coffee machines. And it's not against this conference. I love this. It's probably one of the best Sukkot I've been to. But if I was running a Sukkot, most of you wouldn't want to come. Some of you have mentioned to me, you should do the food here. I'm like, you wouldn't come here if I was doing the food here. Listen, I would replace the coffee machines with a juicer. I would have a little juice bar. And we'd be having some fresh juice in the morning instead of coffee. Or at least some smoothies or something. Some wheatgrass or something. And it'd be just different. But I could promise you this. In all my wisdom, in all my teachings, and I've learned the hard way, I had a disease, I don't want to see other people sick. Here's a great tip that might just help you. If a liquid you're putting in your body is glow-in-the-dark fluorescent blue, it's probably not good for your health. Keep that in mind, please. Gatorade, and they purposely put me to speak at the end and not the beginning. Gatorade is probably one of the worst things you could put in your body. Let me give you a little history about Gatorade. The Florida Gators in the early 80s were using it to hydrate their athletes. But then as time went on, many of them started developing cancer. And they found out there were some chemicals in that Gatorade that contributed to that. So instead of the FDA and the government taking it off the market, they created a sports drink named Gatorade.
Everybody, you've been listening to part one of a two-part message that I recently gave on a topic of health according to the Bible. And I invite you to contact me through my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And next week, I will play part two for you to hear. You can go to my website or my YouTube page, Health Watch Man, and see the full seminar in video form in its entirety in one episode. Until then, everybody, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. God of love.